Thanks for listening to the Revival Today podcast with evangelist Adalys Shuttlesworth. To stay connected, check us out on Facebook and Instagram or online at revivaltoday.com. Now, here's evangelist Adalys.
Come back to my channel.
Today, we are talking about clearing out your mind. And I've got a couple of steps here because if you know anything about me, you know that I love to clean. And we had a question brought to our attention about how this one woman, she has never been diagnosed with cancer. She's got a couple of kids. But within the last few months, maybe years, I'm not quite certain of the time frame, but she says that she has been overwhelmed with the fear of death. She's been overwhelmed with the notion that, the notion, in quotes, that she is going to die of cancer. She doesn't have cancer, but there is this overwhelming, there's this overwhelming thought. Obviously, it's demonically inspired because any thoughts of death, anything that isn't good, anything that isn't worth dwelling on. Thank you. Is obviously not something that's inspired by the Holy Ghost. Oh my goodness, I didn't even see the lighting, Ram. It's much better. Much better.
We have a before and after.
What's the before and after? Me like to see. Okay. See that? See what I mean? See? Yeah. Look it. You had bags in your eyes, not even under them. They were like just on top of your eyes. And now they're not there. Thank you for the lighting. I wish there was one right here, but that's, I'm not complaining. I'm saying thank you for making the proper adjustments. And hopefully tomorrow there'll be two more of those. So anyway, she's been thinking these thoughts like, I'm going to die of cancer. I've never been diagnosed. So what do you do? What do you do when you have overwhelming thoughts that are contrary to the word of God? What do you do? So these are just going to be practical steps because I am a thorough cleaner. Everybody here in the office knows it. Everybody knows when Adalys cleans. It is, because all you smell is bleach. Everything looks just spick and span. It does, because I know how to clean. And so I'm taking these principles of my expertise in that. And it's not because I'm Spanish. Don't be racist. Don't stereotype me. But that kind of does have something to do with it. Because Spanish people really can clean the best. There I said it. There I said it. That sparkly water is just really, really, really delicious. So I'm taking what I know from the natural. We're going to apply them to your spiritual walk with the Lord. And this is something that's easy. Because if you are consistent with this, with the clean out of your mind, spring cleaning, that's what I really wanted to name this thing, but I'm not. Spring cleaning. If we can spring clean our minds, but it's not spring. So that's why I didn't entitle this, spring cleaning your mind. But it's worth you going through the rubbish. It's worth you organizing. It's worth you clearing some stuff out of your mind, because if you don't deal with it early on, we all know what that looks like later on. If you just keep pushing it back, you keep pushing, cleaning out the garage, all of a sudden 5 years goes by and you don't even know what's underneath all of the mess. And the fact of the matter is that if you aren't consistently cleaning out your mind, You focus in on the things that are just not necessary, things that you need, like just for example, I was clearing out my little tiny craft closet, literally like tiny itty bitty. And I found about $150 worth of batteries. Not even playing. I am not even playing. $150 worth. And so, but it's because I didn't keep inventory of the ones that I bought. I just keep shoving it in the closet. I don't know what's in there. And lo and behold, I'm at Target. I'm at wherever, the grocery store. And I'm like, I can't find the batteries. Even though I've got $150 worth of batteries in that little closet, in that little craft closet. There it is. And I keep buying it. So it's unnecessary money is allotted because I am too lazy to clear things out. And so unnecessary focus, unnecessary effort in your life will be made if you don't clear out your house, if you don't clear out your mind. Because all of a sudden you think like, oh my goodness, your focus is different. Your focus is on this. Your focus is on that. When really, you know what? I need peace. I need that. And it's right there for you. You just have to clean it out. You got to clear out the mess, clear it out, quit asking for more power, quit asking for peace, quit asking for joy, quit asking for whatever it is that the word of God says you already have, because it's in there. It's in that little closet of your mind. You have just buried it with so much crap that it's hard to find it. And so that's a problem. So we're going to clear it out. We're going to clear out. We're going to spring clean out your mind. We're going to really, it's going to be a squeaky Puerto Rican clean. So the number one thing, and if you have those thoughts that just pop up into your head, you need to stop that train. You need to stop that mental train from moving forward. So what do you do? Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. You know, when they say that cleanliness is next to godliness, that's absolutely 100% fact. I read throughout all my word about how the word of God is like, has like a water effect. It's a cleansing effect. Having your heart sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water, having the word of the Lord wash your mind. All of that has something to do with the word of God, with keeping it clean. And the number one thing you got to do is clean out your heart. Clean out your heart. That's what Hebrews 10:22 is leading us to do in our life. To draw what? To draw near to God. So that has to be a number one priority. If you have tormenting thoughts, pictures of a premature death, pictures of sickness, and there's nothing wrong with you. But you're already like, you're already waving the white flag in surrender, because you're already, you know, I might as well be dying, because I feel like I'm dying, when in reality you're not. Nothing's wrong with you. It's an attack from the devil, and he is so good at bringing the attack to your mind. That's the his number one a favorite spot in a person, in a believer. It's not even what's on the outside. If he can get you to believe a certain thing, if he can rob you from faith in God's word, he's got you exactly where he wants you. If he can take you out of faith and into fear, that's exactly where he wants you. And that faith and fear, it all resides right in your mind. So if you've allowed yourself to think those thoughts and then meditate on them and then dwell on them, I'm telling you what, it's not going to be great. You got to get yourself out of that mess. So clean out your heart. You draw near to God. And then it says in full assurance of faith. So you got to get rid of the fear and say, no, I'm not going to fear. See, that's one thing in the book of Joshua that when God told his people, he said, go pursue the land. But this is one thing that I can't do for you. You need to be strong and courageous. Two things. To be strong and courageous. So obliterate the fear and go after it. So when you come to the Lord with a sincere heart, you do it approaching the throne room of grace, the throne room of heaven in prayer, in full assurance that God is going to meet you, in full assurance that God is going to do what he said he was going to do. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. You know, don't beat yourself up over the head. And I think this is a real good example of it. A good scripture to lead us into the cleansing out of our heart, because it's in our heart that that guilty conscience resides. And God is saying, through the Holy Spirit, I will cleanse you of that guilty conscience, because there is no condemnation in God. If you feel condemned, if the devil is using a condemnation in your, you know what, you didn't pray, you didn't get in the word, and this is why this is happening to you. This is why you will die of cancer.
Titi Emma, voy a tratar de hablar en español, pero es que no me va, ¿sí?
See, I just stopped right there, Titi Emma. I need a translator. Liz, where are you at?
Lo vamos a hacer prontito.
That's Titi Emma, Emma Feus, that's my aunt. So anyway, she wants things translated in Spanish. And I said, I'm going to try. And that was me trying. And I couldn't even make it a full sentence. I got to get into my Spanish soap operas or something, because that's what's going to help me in this Spanish thing. I'm going to do something in Spanish. Y'all wait and see. It's coming to my Spanish people out there. So if you feel guilt, if you feel condemned, then you know where that stems from. Because the what is this wrong with the shirt? It makes me look, I'm wearing this shirt and it is doing nothing for me. So if you feel condemned and you have that guilty conscience, know that there's only one accuser of the brethren, and that's the devil. And he wants to accuse you and make you feel bad. And that will be the first way into your mind, into doubting God. Well, I missed it here. I didn't make time to pray. I didn't make time for the word. This is why this is happening. And so there's that condemnation, and most of the time it stems from that religious mentality of how you view God, of how, of, you know, well, he's, if we don't come through with this, then he's just going to send a plague. And so that opens us up. That will open us up. It will open us up to an attack of the devil, which again, he starts in your head. Because if you are convinced that God is somebody who is waiting to bring condemnation to you and judgment over you, then you don't know the word and you don't know what Jesus has afforded you. And it starts there. It begins there. That open door of attack begins the moment you think that God is in heaven waiting to curse you, waiting to show you a lesson. In your misery, in your defeat, in a problem or whatever, you know? It's likened to that. If you allow for that to come in, then you have a warped view of who God is. You have a warped view of the love that he has for you, and forget it. Forget it. But not today. Say, not today, Satan. Not today and not ever. Having our bodies washed with pure water.
So you got to clean out your heart. And I find it interesting, in order to clean out your heart, Hebrews 10:22 says, you draw near to God with what? A sincere heart. One that's full of faith and assurance. So get out of the fear, get out of the condemnation, get out of the fact that you think that God is just somebody who's full of wrath and wants to see you die early and kill you with the plague. That's not God. He's a good father, and he wants nothing but good things for you. So accept his love, and that's a heart condition too. Not being able to accept the love that God has for you will be a problem. You will suffer the consequences in your mind if you don't engage your heart with that love. So, you know, sometimes we can always talk about the love of God, and sometimes, still people can't even wrap their minds around the fact that God genuinely loves them, and that he genuinely cares for you, and that he genuinely wants to see the very best. It doesn't benefit God in any way to see you die prematurely. It doesn't benefit him in any way to see you in sorrow or misery, especially if you claim to be his child. It doesn't benefit God at all. So it starts with cleaning out your heart. Get rid of the fear. Get rid of the thoughts of the warped view of who God is and his love for you. He genuinely loves you. That's an easy thing to just accept. You should just accept it. If anybody's ever loved you, it doesn't even compare to the love that God has for you. It doesn't. It can't even come close. Clean out your heart. Number one. In Luke 6:45, it says, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. So we understand, number one, you got to clean out your heart. Number two, you got to take out the trash. Get rid of the trash. So there are things on the inside of us that if we allow for them to stay there, they aren't going to produce good things. So what do? We take out the trash. We get rid of those things on the inside of us that would produce evil fruit or evil things. And sometimes it just manifests, all the problems that are around you is just a manifestation of the inside, of what's happening on the inside. Because you've given yourself to that spirit of fear, and all of a sudden, you're right in the thick of it. It seems like there's nothing good that's coming about your life. And it all stems from the spiritual things. Every problem that you see in your life always has a root spiritually. So take out the trash. Say, take out the trash. The good man brings out good things from the good that's stored up in his heart, and the evil. So there has to be good. So everything that's evil in your heart, you need to get rid of. Every doubt, every fear, every sin. Because there might be even some of you that are saying, like, I am just full of fear. I'm full of anxiety. I'm full of all of this mess in my head, and I don't know how to get rid of it. And you're right in the middle of sin. You're having sex with your boyfriend. You're having sex with your girlfriend, whatever it is. And those that's a major block. Forget about the stuff that's happening in your mind. If you allow for sin to infiltrate, and you allow for sin to be consistently something that you tolerate in your life, you will suffer defeat. And I'm talking to the people that have given their hearts to Jesus. And you continue in on what the Bible calls sin. Go ahead and look at what the Word of God declares is sin. Wild parties, drunken stupors, sex outside of marriage, jealousy, bitterness, all of these things will separate you from the promises of God. And in fact, the Bible would that would consider you somebody that's double-minded. What do you want? Are you going after the world or are you going to go after the things of God? Make no mistake about it. They can't be both. And if you reside in that area where it's just one, I don't know, it's you're double-minded. The Bible says, let that man expect nothing from me. And so you've been crying out to God and you've been asking God, but there's still sin in your life. Some people might not even know about it. Maybe it's hidden sin where you don't think that you thought that nobody knows, but God knows. You can't hide anything from the Lord. And you can say the hallelujahs and amen and preach the house down. But if there is hidden sin, you will pay the price for it in your mind. So you got to get rid of those things that are going to produce evil in your life. So maybe it's there. You gotta take out the trash, take out the fear, take out the sin, and allow for the good stored up in your life to produce. Because it's until you get rid of the filth that all of that stuff. I gotta get rid of the weeds. I was just doing outdoor yard work just the other day. And there are weeds that will choke out the growth of what's good. So you got to pull out the weeds. You got to pluck them out before something beautiful can grow. Because those weeds innately just want to choke out, take the food, take the water, take the sun from the beautiful plants that you have planted. So you got to pull up the roots, pull out the weeds. Pull out the things that aren't good and allow for the good to be manifested. And it's an easy thing. All you got to do is say no. All you got to do is turn off the computer. All you have to do is ignore the phone call. All you have to do is vocalize, I'm not doing that anymore. I can't do this anymore. And that's one tactic that the devil will continue to use, is to try to make you think of something. Worst case scenario, and someone brought up on YouTube about a commercial she sees. And now, because the devil is so good at deception and trying to trick you, now all you got to do is turn the TV on. And lo and behold, you're picturing yourself, you know, with a heart attack in the hospital. Oh my goodness, I do pee a lot. This could be a problem. This could be a sign of major something major. What is wrong with me? And he has infiltrated every means possible to try to get you to see it his way. Try to get you to picture it his way. And God is saying, I want you to picture it my way. So this is how you do it. Take out the trash, clean out your heart, and here's 2 Corinthians 10:5, which is our third point. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Someone said even YouTube has it. I mean, it's everywhere. The devil wants you to fear, and he'll put images up for you to fear. He'll give you a real good example of that everywhere, just in every media outlet, every news outlet. All of a sudden, you're seeing commercials for this, you're seeing commercials for that, and it's his tactic to get you to imagine yourself with this ailment. So, number three, bleach out the stains. I like me some bleach. Works on almost every surface except for black clothing. We don't want to bleach out my black jeans, my black denim, my dark denim. So you bleach out the stains. What do I mean by that? You take captive every thought that would be contrary to the word of God. And you say, I am not thinking about that. Literally, it's a process that you have to do. You got to take captive. What does take captive mean? It's arrest those thoughts. To arrest those thoughts is to stop that train from flowing in your head. Because I can tell you, it starts with, just maybe a little flashback of what happened in the past. That'll lead you to think like, well, if this happened, now I see myself in this area. Now that area turns into, okay, now I'm on my deathbed. The deathbed turns into a funeral where your children are present. The funeral turns into the burial site. The burial turns into thoughts of your children not serving the Lord because of this attack. I'm telling you, the mental train that people, you can go from A to Z real quick if you don't arrest those thoughts. So you have to demolish every argument and everything that sets itself up against the knowledge of God and everything that's contrary to the word of God and make it obedient to Christ. So what is it? So it's not good enough to just hold it captive. You say, no, I'm not going to die young because the word of God says with long life will you satisfy me. That's what that means. And you make it obedient to Christ. So you clean out your heart, you take out the trash, you bleach out the stains. Why? Because out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. So if you are feeling some kind of way, your mouth will innately say exactly what you are thinking, exactly what you're feeling, exactly what you've been meditating on. So when those thoughts do come, it's time to speak something out contrary to that. Because that's your job. God cannot do that for you. A pastor can't do that for you. The man and woman of God, they cannot do that for you. That is something that you have to do. And it says, no weapon formed against you can prosper. And every word that rises against you, you will condemn it. So if you want those weapons to not work, then there has to be a word that is spoken to condemn that thought process. Because the weapons that come against us, they're spiritual. They're spiritual things. It's a spiritual attack on your mind, on your body, on your health. It's a spiritual thing. All of those things are rooted in the spirit, so you can't go after it in a natural way. And lots of you might say, well, I just, I run and I do this. It's something greater than that. It's a word that has to be spoken out of your mouth in order to negate those thoughts. So bleach out those thoughts. Bleach out the stains. Bleach out every argument, every idea, everything that would try to come in your head that is contrary to, get rid of it. Stop it. Bleach it out by the word of God. And do it continually. It's not good enough for you to just do it once or twice. The fourth one, replace the old with the new. On the heels of making sure that you arrest every thought and not allowing yourself to move in that way to stop the train and not ride, don't go for that ride. Get off the train. How do you do it? You replace the old thoughts, those old thoughts with something new. This is something you have to do daily. And I'll tell you, it's just like a muscle. The more you do it, the easier it'll come. It'll be difficult a little bit. I'm not setting you up for failure. I'm just saying it's gonna take effort. It's gonna take consistency. And don't do this once or twice and be like, it's not working. I had somebody contact me the other day about this. I'm so full of fear and I don't know how to do it. I said, do it for 2 weeks. And she done contacted me 2 days. It's not, I know that I have to rest in this, but I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm feeling attacked. I don't know. I just want to cry. I'm overwhelmed. Please help me. I can't help you anymore. I can't help you. I just told you what to do. So I can't do any more. So you just have to stand. You just have to fight for this. You just have to continue and be persistent in this. So you're persistent. You continue on with it. Don't give up. And you replace the old with the new. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So the ways of the world are those that, you know, they're overwhelmed, they're stressed out, they're fearful. That's not the way that God wants you to do it. We are not to pattern ourselves after this world, but we are to be transformed by what? By the renewing of our mind. So ultimately, that's the only way that you can renew your mind. If you get anything out of this series, if you get anything out of today's podcast, it's this. You wanna have dominion over your thoughts and your mind. God has given it to you. It says it in the world. In the word, he says, I haven't given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and control over your thoughts, a sound mind. And you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In the word. It's in the word that you can have. And that's the thing. Like, there's no void. So it's either you're going to be full of fear or you're going to be full of faith. There's not like just like a nothingness. Oh, I'm just kind of like nothing. You're either moving in faith or you're moving in fear. So where are you right now? And I hope that you're moving in faith, but if you're not, you can rectify that situation by being transformed by the renewing of your mind in the word of Christ. That's the only way to renew your mind. So you're sick and tired of the thoughts coming in, then you need to get in your word. And that's what's going to help you renew your mind. It's what's going to help you transform your thought process, which then helps you transform your heart process, which then helps you transform your word process. So you need to renew your mind. Then you'll be able to test. See, then you'll be able to have a good perspective on what life brings you. Because it's until you are transformed by the renewing of your mind that you'll be able to see things the way God sees them, to decipher the attack, to decipher, wait a minute, this isn't right. God, you're not showing me this because you want me to learn something from this. You didn't send me this plague because you want me to know more about patience. What is that? That's a misunderstanding of the word of God. But once you set yourself up to be transformed by the word of God, it renews your mind. It renews the way you see things, your outlook in life. All of a sudden, I can't do this anymore. Goes from I can't do this anymore to I got this. This is the easiest thing. Actually, look at this. I see that this is the enemy's ploy to get me to stay defeated, to get me to stay down, to get me to keep in this miserable life. But now I see things right, and I see that God has made a way for me, and I will perceive it. I will see it. It might not look like it, but I see it with my spiritual eyes because I see it through the word of God. And we need our eyes to be fixed and focused on the word of God, especially if you're being plagued with thoughts of fear, anxiety, suicide. All of those things can be combated by the renewing of your mind through the word of Christ. Here's another little tidbit. 1, 2, 3, 4. I didn't even count these. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Number 5, throw out the sloppy mess. Throw out unforgiveness and bitterness. This is just kind of like a side thing. Because it would say, with the take out the trash, this is what you ought to do too on the heels of that one. Throw out unforgiveness and bitterness. Throw it out. Get rid of it. There's some trash that's been like lingering there like for so long that you don't even recognize it. It's like I had this one box in my garage and I'm like, I always looked at that box and I was like, there's got to be something important in there. I'm not curious enough to know what it is. I don't feel like going over there and opening up that box, but it's got to be important because it's been here for the last 7 years. So I'm going to ignore what's in it, but it must be important. So I'm just going to keep it here because it's obviously here for a reason. And when I opened it up, it was like ribbons, like crusty ribbons from like, you know, Christmas 2008. I'm like, you can't even use that ribbon anymore. It's like tainted yellow. There's like water damage in it. So I'm like, I'm literally looking through this entire box and there is nothing of benefit to me. And it was just made, it was taking up room in my garage. And I'm like, why is this even here? How many more boxes do I have in this garage that just don't matter, that are just trash? And I'm keeping it and it's making everything cluttered. And it's robbing my peace. Literally, every time I crest into this garage with my vehicle, I pull it in. I get stressed out because everything's in disarray and disorder. How many more of these boxes can I say sadly to my chagrin? Is that a word? I don't know. That there was a couple of boxes like that. And sometimes we don't even know. We've pacified the bitterness and we've pacified the unforgiveness for so long that we've made it a part of who we are. And we don't even allow ourselves to think about it anymore. But when you think about that one person, she makes you angry. Real angry. But you've kind of just like marked that off as a box that's like important, but it's taken up space. So you might as well rip that thing open and see it for what it is. It's futile. It's taken up space. It's cluttering up your minds and you didn't even know it. It's that one thing that lady said that kind of like, you know, made your face kind of like shrivel up. And you've been holding that resentment. You've been holding that unforgiveness. You've been holding that bitterness for so many years. And some people can't even see it. They can't even see it. It's the most freaky thing in the whole wide world. It's like, don't you see every time you talk about your sister, you get so angry? You talk about so-and-so. Maybe it's somebody who really did do you harm. And you feel entitled to being bitter. You feel entitled to having that unforgiveness. It's not these things. You want peace of mind. You want clarity of mind. You want control over your thoughts. These things are not going to function if you keep holding those things in, if you keep holding on to that unforgiveness. So throw out the unforgiveness. Throw out that bitterness. It's taken up room. Take out anything that's taken up room in your house. I'm talking about this house, and I'm pointing to my mind for those of you listening to me. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. See, because even the weights that we carry, they might not be sin, even though, unforgiveness and bitterness. Yeah. But there are weights that would slow us down, that would get in the way, that would murk our minds up. Murk? Muddle up. I don't know where murk came from. They'll muddle up your mind and they'll you can't afford that. You can't afford for you to be robbed of peace. If you've given, because that's what it takes, if you've given somebody your peace, every time you think about them, they make you feel angry or they're just causing you to just have high blood pressure, a headache, a migraine, they innately just put you in that realm, then you've given somebody something too precious and it's time to get that back. And the way to do it is by forgiving them, by releasing that bitterness. Why? Because it's a weight that will slow you down and it will hinder your progress. That sin that so easily hinders your progress, you got to let go of it. Ephesians 4:31 and 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. So that's the mandate that you have from the Lord. You got to be kind. If this is provoking you to like if this is kind of making you feel bad, it's time to reflect. It's time to see what needs to be thrown out. Anger, rage, bitterness, brawling, slander, every form of malice. That's what the Word of God says that all those things are. They're a form of malice and God doesn't like it. So are you in bitterness? Have you punched a wall lately? Got a couple of stitches somewhere on your body to prove that you just went into a rage? Have you had arguments with your husband, with your wife, that has caused them to just walk out and be like, this girl is crazy. He is crazy. Rage. You got to get rid of it. Anger, brawling, slander. All of these things will hinder a peaceful mind. And that is, you can't afford not to be in a state where you're full of God's peace. It's too expensive. You got to get rid of it. So be kind. Replace those things. There it is. Replace that stuff with being kind, being compassionate to one another, and forgiving each other just as God, just as Christ forgave you. And the last point we make here today is you ought to get new furniture. Get that new furniture. This is some of y'all where you keep holding on to that crusty couch. It's time for you to get rid of it because every time you look at it, you're like, there it is. The anxiety, it just comes rearing up every time you see that piece of furniture. Get rid of the furniture. I'm saying that physically. In your house right now, there's pieces of furniture that you have in there. It's time to get rid of them. But in your mind, you replace those thoughts with something good. So in Psalm 126:2, it says, our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. And so out of your mouth, using your tongue, you must begin to praise the Lord, sing songs of joy, declare the goodness of God, replace all of the things that you would, subconsciously even say. You don't even know that you're saying them. Have the Holy Spirit. He's so good at that. Say, Lord, I don't want to say those things anymore. Don't even allow for me to say it without feeling your conviction. I've said that and it works. And it's really not that great when it happens, but man, you really benefit from it. You benefit from the Holy Spirit teaching you in the way that you should go. Sometimes it doesn't, when you feel corrected, it doesn't feel great, but you definitely reap the benefit of that. So some of you have to start declaring the promises of God and replace that with the crap that's been in your head for so long. You should come to a point where you shouldn't fear those thoughts. It should make you angry. And out of that anger, you feel provoked to say the opposite of what you hear in your mind or what you see in your mind. And you begin to speak it out of your mouth. You begin to sing praises, sing songs of joy, and be in Thanksgiving. There's no greater, easier way to usher in the presence of the Lord than by opening up your mouth and giving him praise. It's an access that comes. I think Bishop Oyedepo says it's the cheapest way to enter into the presence of God by thanksgiving and praise. So change that tune, change that depressing, disgusting song that is filling you up with fear and anxiety, and replace it with something that's going to glorify God. And that's what it's going to take. Change your tune. Change the tune. And declare, out of my mouth, I will be filled with laughter. Then everybody around you is going to take notice and say, the Lord has done great things for them. That's the guarantee for you if you stick with it. So stick with it. It's a very simple thing to get out of that mental rut, to get out of that mental plague that you're in. But it does take consistency, and it definitely takes effort, just like cleaning out a garage. Sometimes you got to get to it. It might take you a whole week for those of you that have work and children. You can't even tackle that thing in a day. There's no way. But you will reap the benefit. And there's something about cleaning house that just leaves you in complete peace. And that's what God wants for you. He wants you to live in complete peace, dominion over your thought process. And it begins with an effort that you have to place. An effort. And a demand. You need to place the effort and you need to place the demand on the word of God. Because if you think that this is something that you're just going to have to deal with, then you're going to deal with it. And you're going to be one of those Christians with a sad, droopy face your entire life. So don't be that Christian with a sad, droopy face, and just believe the word. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It's right on my journal. So there's no excuse for you to stay in wallowing in it. You can do it. The word of God says, I can do it. If there was ever a time in your head, in your mind, that you thought to yourself, I can't do that, it's a lie. Because the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So he gives you strength. He empowers you to be an overcomer, to tackle every hardship in life. So don't belittle yourself. You're a lot more powerful than you know. And with Christ on the inside of you, indestructible. So don't give the devil the privilege of infiltrating your thought process. Give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. In Jesus' name. For those of you that are listening on podcast and you are in Montreal, today is September the 23rd. My 13 years of marriage, 13-year anniversary is today with Johnny Shuttlesworth. The greatest decision I ever did was marry that man. For real. He's been making me laugh for so many years now. So shout out to my lovey. I love you wherever you are. I know where you are. You're in Montreal. So happy 13-year anniversary to him. He is going to be in Montreal, Good News Chapel. So make it out there. This is 2019, September 23rd, 2019. If you are listening to this down the road, do not show up to Good News Chapel. I don't know. Maybe we will be in Good News Chapel in 2021. I don't know on September 23rd. I don't know. But Jesus might come back before then. So I can't guarantee it. But just so you know, it's September 23rd again, 2019. So if this is past that day, don't show up to Good News Chapel tonight. They have day sessions and evening sessions at 7:30. So make it out. Make it out. And if you've yet to subscribe to this podcast, I want to encourage you, do it. Subscribe to this podcast. And we are coming with you with a fresh word. Erday. Kind of erday. I won't say every day because there might be like a time or two where I'm like, you know what? Don't feel like doing it. It's my podcast. I can do that. So that's so great, right? So if you haven't shared this, if you have yet to subscribe, go ahead and do so. I appreciate it. I love you, and I will see you tomorrow. God bless. Peace. Deuces. Stay with it. Don't give up, y'all.
Hey, this is Jonathan Shuttlesworth. I want to thank you for listening to my podcast, or if you're listening to my wife's, thank you on her behalf. If you want to be more than just a casual listener and stand with us as we take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, go to revivaltoday.com and click Give Now and be a part of the 1,000 monthly partners that we're believing for. I have a special gift that I'll send to you today, and I'll say thank you in advance. Until next time, thanks for listening. See you later.